In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
If you were a super far left, super villain, and you were putting together your Injustice League, your cabal of evil, you'd probably want, the executive director of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Union. You'd probably want the executive director of the ACLU of Oregon, the president of Government Affairs of Oregon Health and Science University, which has been promoting things like the false science of transgenderism while making oodles of money from expensive, irreversible surgeries on kids. You'd probably want the CEO from Planned Parenthood Columbia Willamette, which, when they're not ending babies' futures, they're mutilating kids' futures with gender-affirming hormones. You'd want the executive director from Basic Rights Oregon promoting their LGBTQWXYZ and transgender justice and racial justice. And, for good measure, add in a couple more unions, the president of AFL-CIO and executive director of SEIU 503. If that's who you're bringing together, if that's your brain trust, what do you think is in store for Oregon? What kind of plans will they come up with? Well, here's a hint. None of it will be good, and none of it will be good for Oregon. But that's what was announced as the recently elected Attorney General in Oregon has established the Injustice League, which he calls the Federal Oversight and Accountability Cabinet. Which, right there, the name seems just a bit off. One doesn't usually think of the states having oversight over the federal government. That's usually the other way around. The point of this happy little cabinet is to defy the federal government, especially when it comes to illegal immigration. This is what Oregon elected, an attorney general who proudly announced a conspiracy to try to defy federal law and, really, to defy the election. That's weird. Defying the law, defying the election, defying democracy all sounds an awful lot like an insurrection, doesn't it? And didn't we just spend the last 4 years hearing all about how no one is above the law? But here the Attorney General is declaring illegal immigrants are above the law, people who broke the law to get here. And apparently government officials are also above the law as they defy federal law to help illegal immigrants evade the law so they can continue to break the laws. But here's one key fact. In the 2023-2025 $121.3 billion biennium budget, Oregon got $37.9 billion of that from the federal government. That's 31.3%, nearly one-third of it. If you're defying the federal government, good luck when you try to go to the bank. It's going to be an interesting year ahead. To talk about what lies ahead for Oregon in this new year, I would like to welcome back one of our favorite guests, a fantastic global warming debunker, and someone who's also become a political activist here in Oregon, Chuck Weiss. Chuck, how you doing?
Very good. Happy New Year to you and Carla and your listening audience.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we always love to have you on to talk about global warming and all of its nonsense. And it's going to be a large part of our show this week, because I think that's one of the big things that Oregon is going to be talking about and wrestling with in the year ahead. And last week's show, it being Christmas week, was an encore presentation of show 1450 from earlier in the year with Jen Hammaker and Representative Ed Deal discussing the special session that had to be called to order to bail out the Oregon Department of Forestry. And we've heard from a number of people, even after that show was being a repeat, what a great show that was. Somebody called it a must-listen. And I know that you had some follow-up thoughts on that because it really touched nerve with you, especially since that show really exposed the environmental nonsense driven by federal policies and how they're actually harming habitat rather than protecting them thanks to the stupidity of the Oregon legislature.
Yes, it absolutely has. Jen Hammack was dead on the screws with this because, as she pointed out, it was these federal laws and mandates to protect habitats that started all the nonsense to begin with, where environmental groups that sued the states and demanded that these forests be locked up to protect wildlife habitats, they went ahead and did that. But then Oregon follows through by just saying, well, in order to protect the wildlife habitats, we're just going to leave them alone and undisturbed. We're just going to have to cut down logging or stop it. in areas where these habitats are and not remove any of the buildup of volatile fuels, which occur from dead and rotting timber and old growth timber, that sort of thing. And so you take a look at what happens over the years since starting all of this, and it goes back several decades. These fuels build up, and then when you get into the hot, dry weather of the summer months, a lightning storm or the first thing that comes along in that regard, or even human causes, that sets fire, the fires become extremely intense, and they spread very rapidly because of all the fuels that remain on the forest floors that aren't cleaned up. And then they burn these things to the ground. The fires burn millions of acres of Oregon forest land. And then these people, the very same people that got involved in protecting the wildlife habitats, complete this vicious circle by saying, well, you see, look at this. All of this forest burned down because of climate change. And so then they take that and they launch into their climate change programs, which are doing nothing more than hurting people and taking their money, which we get nothing in return for. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. So Jen was right on the screws about this, Mark. It's just a vicious circle, and it needs to be stopped.
Well, one of the things that really jumped out at me was that as I was listening to Jen and to Ed talk and, you know, other guests too that we've had on, Craig Rucker and whatnot, as they talk about how the modern day environmentalists have kind of morphed from what they used to be. I mean, it used to be that the left and the environmentalist movement really did care about the environment. But now it's just become so muddled. It's all about money. And you've got a state agency that was designed from its beginning to be self-funding and generate funds for some 200 programs and agencies. But it's gone insolvent because it refuses to do the job of harvesting timber and recognizing that timber needs to be harvested. Otherwise, as you said, it just builds up on the forest floor and ends up becoming a giant tinderbox. But, I mean, yes. The fact that it's gone insolvent because it refuses to do the job of harvesting timber and making money from the sales of that timber to fund itself and all these other agencies, I mean, what's next? PERS investing in a fund that makes no money that's supposed to fund everybody's retirements? I mean, that's the nonsense we see from the state right now.
Yes, it is. And as I think you mentioned in that show, that one of the possibilities that they were looking at by locking up forests like the Elliott was to say that they'll get into the business of selling carbon credits.
Yes.
For trees not harvested, and that sort of ridiculous nonsense. And I can believe that they would go for that sort of a thing. You know, this whole climate change this whole climate change scenario in states like Oregon, Washington, and California is definitely just driven by money. And one of the proofs that I saw of this just a few years back in 2019 was a full-page ad in the Sunday Oregonian that 22 Oregon State University scientists, so-called scientists, signed. And it was a letter directed to Governor then Governor Brown and all the people in the Oregon State Legislature. And it goes like this, and I saved this because I sent it to them, basically challenging everything that they had said in this letter. And it goes on to say in this ad, the challenges posed by fossil fuel-induced climate change are as daunting and demanding as we've ever faced. That's why these 70 Oregon-based scientists and experts are urging the state's lawmakers to take strong climate action this year. Now, this was back in 2019. Then they say the Clean Energy Jobs Bill, or back then it was HB 2020, will overcome these challenges. It will reduce global warming pollution across the state, invest in clean energy, and protect our communities from the impacts of climate change. So here these people are telling the citizens, as scientists, that setting up any sort of a program locally in Oregon will protect the communities from the impacts of climate change. And then they go on to say, we, the undersigned scientists and researchers, urge you to pass a strong climate policy in 2019 to cap and price emissions, invest the funds in Oregon communities to support clean energy jobs and climate resilience, and put the state on the path to meeting its emission reduction goals. Now imagine that. 22 of these people signed it. So they're demanding that the governor back in 2019, which was Governor Brown, enact a strong climate change policy. Well, that's exactly what she did. She did exactly what these scientists said. And so HB 2020, though, was voted down by the taxpayers, as you remember. But after we voted it down, Governor Brown could have cared less, and she decided, I'm just going to go through the DEQ and shove this down the throats of all the citizens of the state, because the Oregon state scientists are supposed to know better than anybody else. And, of course, you can't blame the legislature for trusting these people. They're not scientists themselves, and they get deliberately misled by these ridiculous full-page ads that these people at Oregon State University took out.
And I'm sure none of those...
I was ashamed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're a scientist, you should be ashamed, because I'm guessing 22 out of 22 there probably got a lot of money from global warming research and the like. So, all right, everyone stay with us. We do need to take a break here. We'll continue with Chuck Weiss talking about what is happening here in Oregon and what we can expect in the year ahead. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Chuck Weiss. He's one of our favorite guests here on iSpy. He's a trained meteorologist and fearsome global warming debunker. And Chuck, during the break there, you were talking about the CPP and how even if they get everything that they want, it's really not going to do anything in terms of fixing the climate.
No, it's not. And this is what made this full-page ad that was paid for, by the way, by the Union of Concerned Scientists, and that's nothing more than a political body, but yet these Oregon State University professors signed their names to it. And when they said, we want this program, we demand that you make this program, well, here's what they came up with. They decided that they will arbitrarily assign emission caps to all the fuel suppliers in the state of Oregon. So if any of them reach their so-called arbitrary emission cap reduction, and they gradually ratchet these down over the course of the next 30 years, if any of the fuel suppliers exceed that in their total sales, so they compute by total sales what their CO2 emissions would be, because the citizens that buy the fuel and businesses then will emit CO2 as they burn it. So they created these arbitrary caps, and they ratchet them down, and they say, this is what you guys have to do, and then if you go over those arbitrary caps, you have to pay $129 per metric ton of CO2 that goes over the arbitrary caps. Well, I've asked, how did you come up with these caps? And what are they going to do to the climate specifically? Show your work and show your calculations. Well, of course, there aren't any. They're just arbitrary. There's no scientific basis for these whatsoever. And we know that that's true because Oregon emits about 60 million metric tons of CO2 per year. That's statewide. And if you, in your wildest dreams, thought that one of these programs was 100% successful, and you wiped out all of those 60 million metric tons of CO2, it would reduce global emissions, which are what counts as the total in the atmosphere that they try to say is causing all the warming. It would reduce the amount of emissions by a paltry 0.156%. That's 15.6 one-hundredths of 1%. It wouldn't even make a dent in the continued growth of atmospheric CO2. And if you took the same programs and you spread them out across all 50 states and said, you know, we're going to do this nationwide. And they are trying to do this under Biden. Thank God he's leaving. But they are going to try to do it. That was their goal. They'd like to say, we want to have these running in all 50 states. And if you went across the United States and added up all of its emissions compared to the global, it's only 12.6% of global. So if you wiped all of that out, it wouldn't have any real significant difference in reducing the atmospheric CO2 level. It would come out to either 9 parts per million or maybe 2, depending on what sort of an absorption number you use in these carbon models that you can make these estimates from. But the point is, there was claims made when all of this global warming nonsense started that were made by James Hansen, saying if the total atmospheric CO2 exceeds 350 parts per million by volume, that's the danger zone for what he considered to be a safe climate. And he said, we got to get it back to 350. Well, guess what, James Hansen, and guess what, Oregon State University, you guys knew, and you had to have known, that under these programs you could never get atmospheric CO2 back to what you say has got to be a safe level. And that was 350 parts per million. And by the way, that is not a scientifically derived number either. It's fictitious and it's arbitrary. There is no proof that atmospheric CO2, if it breaks through that 350 parts per million, is going to cause any sort of damage to the climate. And all of these claims that are made that severe weather and everything else that's happening worldwide as a result of is the result of having gone over that are ridiculous. There's no founding proof of this whatsoever. In fact, you could use applications of atmospheric science and show that is definitely not the case, that any severe weather is caused by any increases in CO2. So, you know, the whole program, whether it's local or even national, Mark, is a complete fraud. It's not going to solve anything. The only thing you're doing by getting these programs going and hitting fuel suppliers up with all these charges, if they go over the arbitrary caps, is they're going to pass these on to the consumer, and they already are. Utility bills are going up through the roof, and they're going to continue to go up through the roof as long as they continue to insist that these programs stay in effect and they keep hitting fuel suppliers up with these charges per metric ton over their arbitrary caps. Well, it's crazy.
And on top of that, you've got this Multnomah County organization. It's a conglomerate, I think, of various groups that are suing fossil fuel companies, including the power companies. And so if this multi-billion-dollar lawsuit goes through, do they honestly think that's going to lower anybody's utility costs? Of course not. They have to pass that along to consumers. I'm already seeing people on Facebook complaining about power rate increases. They're going up 15, 20, 25. I think one even said 40% from the year before. So this is astronomically ridiculous. You know, just to kind of tie these two thoughts, last segment and this segment together, the strange thing is Oregon seems uniquely focused on destroying its own forests. Our neighbors to the north in Washington, I just read an article about this. It was from Everett Herald. And you know, our neighbors to the north in Washington have decided to actually practice good forestry management. And they aren't having trouble paying their bills for the equivalent of their Department of Forestry. It says the Washington's state trust lands have been among the most well-managed public lands in the nation, generating funding for schools and other public services while supporting recreation, wildlife habitat, young and old forests, clean water and family wage jobs in the woods, and mills, not hills, mills. And their Board of Natural Resources just voted to reaffirm existing policy to harvest trees and provide for those agencies for years to come. So I don't get it. Why is Oregon determined to be the dunce of forestry?
Well, that's a good question, and only the legislature can answer this. And like I said, the problem with the legislature, and we could talk in a different show about what I think is going on with a lot of this, because I think the reason why we have such poor leadership in this state and in some of the others is we went to vote by mail. And I know we're not going to be discussing that during this program, but there's so much fraud in who we elect nowadays. We've got some very poor leadership in the Oregon State Legislature and have had this for a long time. But like I said, you can't blame these ignorant legislators for some of the decisions that they make, because they're being driven by these radical activist type professors at universities like Oregon State, and not limited to Oregon State, but other ones too, telling them this climate nonsense and telling them, you have to do this. We demand it. And so, of course, they're going to listen to this because we're supposed to trust these people with the doctorate degrees. And it turns out that what's driving all of this hysteria out of Oregon State is all the money they get for promoting it. It's just a vicious circle, and it really needs to be broken, and it needs to stop. And they've severely mistreated professors that dare challenge them on any of this stuff.
Yeah, I know that there's a saying within academic circles that when you have a doctorate, you know an awful lot about very little, and that's true because their research focus is so small and so narrowed, and unfortunately, what the little they do know just isn't worth anything. All right, let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll continue with Chuck Weiss coming up. We're going to be continuing to talk about what's happening here in Oregon over the next year and what we can expect. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're looking at what Oregon is facing in the year ahead. We're doing that with Chuck Weiss. He's a meteorologist and debunker of global warming junk science and all of its fear-mongering, because they depend on people being uninformed. And we are trying to do the opposite. We're trying to get people informed so they can make better decisions. And so, Chuck, those last two segments there, I'm sitting here thinking, I really hope that Oregonians are going to get tired of being the dumb kid, where, you know, you've got Washington, they're up there doing the right things when it comes to their forests. Meanwhile, Oregon is slapping up more costly green energy at a time that other states are starting to go nuclear and looking at that, because energy demands are increasing and continuing to increase exponentially thanks to things like AI. I just think at some point Oregonians are going to start looking around outside their state borders and say, why does everyone else have things better than we do?
Well, I think we're already starting to see that, Mark, because I surf around on the blogs a lot to see who's saying what and what the opinions of people are. And one of the blogs that I read is to check to see what the neighborhood up in the Portland area thinks of A, B, or C. There's a whole different range of topics people bring up on that, but one of them has been increasingly the cost of energy and the complaints about the cost of energy, as PGE has been raising electric rates now considerably over the last few years. And people in Portland got so upset over this, they actually contacted Senator Ron Wyden and said, what are you going to do about this? Because nobody had any, at least in terms of the public, nobody was getting any satisfactory answers as to why PGE was raising the electric rates as much as they were. And people were really upset about this, and enough so to where it got Wyden's attention. So he said he's going to take them to the cleaners, and he's going to talk to them about why the electric rates are as high as they are. And when I read all this, I just sit back and I have to laugh, because to begin with, Ron has been no friend of getting cheap electricity or cheap energy in Oregon. He's been part of the global warming paradigm, and the global warming, he's been on that bandwagon for a long time and been supporting programs that end up costing people a lot of money. He's to blame for some of these higher electric rates and the rising cost of natural gas, everything, because he would tend to support the Oregon legislature, which is doing these crazy climate protection programs, which, as I mentioned, will have absolutely no effect on atmospheric CO2, the weather, or the climate. And that's an indisputable scientific fact. Is by doing carbon arithmetic, you can show how worthless these programs are, and they should have been able to figure that out before they even got started with them. But, of course, like I said, the goal here seems to be money. It's good for the legislature, just taking more of your money. They like spending it. And it's good for universities like Oregon State, who like to spread climate hysteria and get paid more and more federal grants to tell people how bad things really are when they're not that bad at all. So this is going to have some effect. It can't just go on as it's been going on without people really raising a stink over this. And I think they are. They're starting to. And I'm seeing that. I'm reading it. And hopefully it's going to continue, because I think people perhaps are beginning to wake up and see the ruse of which this climate change nonsense really is. So if that makes a difference, it should get the attention, and people in large numbers get the attention of politicians, because they worry whether if they don't do something to address their concerns, they might not get reelected when it comes time for that in the next election cycle.
Well,
so we'll see what happens with it, but I think we're headed there, and I'm glad that we're headed there. This is long past due of people finally getting fed up and just saying, you know, this is it. We're tired of this. We need a change.
Well, I certainly hope so. And this most recent election, I think, did say some of that, is that people were tired of this. And I think global warming is likely going to be on the way out. Craig Rucker certainly seemed to think so. And you had mentioned just now hysteria. And we'll come back around to Trump getting elected, because I think that's going to have a major impact on Oregon and what they're going to be able to do. But there was a recent article that looks like the environmental left is going to be trying to scaremonger to keep the spending going. And in this article, they are trying to move up the doomsday for global warming by 2 or 3 decades. And so you pay a lot of attention to the global warming hysteria. Is that their strategy now, you think, that they're going to move up that doomsday clock? Because it's always been 20, 30, 40, 50 years out. And so now they're trying to move that up. I sincerely think because they're trying to scare people into spending more money. So is that the strategy, is to move up that clock? Or do you see some other tactic they might be trying to use to keep that taxpayer money spigot open?
Well, the hysteria definitely will ramp up as Trump comes in, because they know what he's going to do. He's going to start cutting back on these grants. And they're just ridiculous amounts of money. It's actually getting up into the low billions now of the amount of federal money going to these climate research projects and climate grants. And I read the other side of the argument just to see what people are doing and saying. And there was an article that was, or actually it was a plea for money that was sent to me from Inside Climate News. Now, this is a blog that just basically puts out climate hysteria. And they were saying, oh, Trump's coming in. We got to do something about this. If you give us X, Y, or Z amount of dollars, we have an anonymous donor that will triple that. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Where's the triple donor? Who is this guy? They don't mention who he is. And when I read further of some of their past letters that they had sent out asking the public to support them and give them money, I found out that the Biden EPA is funding a lot of this stuff into the tune of several hundred million dollars. In fact, it was over $500 million. And these very same people that put out climate hysteria were worried that now that Trump is coming in, only half the money's been spent and he won't let them have the other half. And so there's this constant dribbling of climate hysteria to try to put pressure on the incoming administration to say, you can't ignore the climate, it's a crisis, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? This is starting to fall apart too, and I'm very glad for it, because there were some other, I'm not just alone saying what my own opinions are about this. I use an atmospheric science background to delineate and analyze a lot of this stuff. But there's a guy, the latest Nobel laureate in physics by the name of John Clauser, Dr. John Clauser, also had come out recently. This guy had never studied atmospheric science before he looked into the problem, because it's so out and about in the public now. He wanted to know what it was all about. And without ever having studied the subject, he is a very brilliant scientist, and he latched on right away to the founding principles from atmospheric science and concluded in his basic research that there is no climate crisis in spite of what all these people are saying that there is. There's nothing in the records and there's nothing in the physics of how the atmosphere works to ever support these notions. So he basically dumped on the whole thing and said, no, there's not a climate crisis. And so these people have a real problem, because you've got a Nobel laureate in physics now coming out and realizing what a bunch of BS a lot of this stuff is, and he's basically pouring cold water all over all of it. And hopefully, with people like him weighing in on this subject, it's going to give the Trump administration coming in more gutso to say to these people, enough's enough, we're not going to give you any more money, because we have some very credible people saying, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. And I think...
This will shift the balance, I think.
I absolutely think so, because I think that's how we fix Oregon. We don't fix it here, we fix it at the federal level. Everyone stay with us. We'll talk about that next with Chuck Weiss. That talk today to Chuck Weiss. He's a scientist, trained meteorologist, and global warming debunker, and that's been kind of the focus of this week's show, looking at what Oregon has been doing in terms of climate change. And I think a lot of that is going to be stopping once the feds get involved, because as we discovered about a month ago in our show with Craig Rucker, that they are looking at spending $2.2 trillion just between the Inflation Reduction Act and the other acts, the Infrastructure Act. $2.2 trillion on global warming and green energy. And we simply can't afford it. For heaven's sakes, we're $36 trillion in debt. And they're now projecting they're going to be $51 trillion in debt within the next 4 years. So this simply cannot go. And so I really think, Chuck, that that's going to be our salvation here, is that something needs to get unplugged at the federal level in order to prevent Oregon from committing suicide when it comes to this climate change garbage.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And there's got to be a stop to all this, just because of what the costs are. The costs are just exploding. And another thing we need to take a look at is the reason why the costs are exploding is all the subsidies that the federal government is giving people that are in the wind and solar industry that are supposed to be there to completely substitute out the reliable energy grid that we have now for these renewables, which are not going to meet future electric demand. There's just no way to get around that. And at the same time, these people are trying, like in Oregon, that would love to have our power grid swapped out to nothing but renewables. They're going to find themselves short of energy, just like they did in California, where load demands can't be met, because they're not only doing that, they are demanding that all future vehicles become electric. And so this just doubles or quadruples or maybe even more demand on the electric grid. At the same time, they're diminishing its ability to meet low demand in the future. So you're headed right down a path to brownouts and blackouts, the way things are going. It is that crazy. It's that stupid and that insane.
Yeah, it is absolutely insane. And I think with Trump coming into office, he has really vowed to make government smaller, more efficient, and to cut the spending and the waste. And I would have to think that this climate change garbage has got to be near the top of the list, especially if they're looking at $2.2 trillion going out the door over the next 5 to 10 years, especially since no amount of money is ever going to lower global temperatures. I think global warming spending and that green energy is just, like I said, it has to be on that chopping block. So if Oregon is not getting literally billions of dollars from the federal government, suddenly it might be forced to change directions, don't you think? Or do you think that they would find their own way to spend money and they would rather tax their own citizens to keep spending on the myth of climate change?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. How bold are they to think that maybe if the federal government won't keep subsidizing us and all these programs that we want to do, that we'll just turn around and go after citizens? They're already doing it to some degree, and they're already getting a lot of pushback, which rightfully should be, because people, like I said, are realizing, hey, we get nothing for this investment. And the scary thing is, these larger investment brokerage firms like BlackRock and some of the others have put an enormous amount of their own money into this on the idea that the government's going to be there to subsidize the rest of it. So there's enormous pressure, financial pressure, by these brokerage places that have taken people's money and invested it in green energy to have the government continue this push and completely greenize the entire nation. And that's what's got to be pushed back on. Because if these people have to take losses, it's going to be their own fault, because they didn't get the right advice and they were misled by a lot of people in academia about climate change and what could be done to address it. The whole thing is just a stinking mess, but it needs to stop. We need to get smart about how the energy grid is going to look in the future. And if you're so concerned about coal plants emitting carbon into the atmosphere and this sort of thing, The obvious answer to meeting low demand is to go nuclear.
Yeah.
Now, nuclear energy has changed a lot since the days that Trojan was built and they mothballed it, and since the days when we had the nuclear accident at Three Mile Island and Chernobyl really got people scared, that happened in the old Soviet Union. But things have changed enormously since then, and they're much safer now than they used to be. They're the obvious and logical answer to meet future low demand. And they're clean because they don't emit anything. But everybody is scared of radioactivity, and I'm telling you, that can be managed now with all the technology and new technology that we have. So why shouldn't we go that direction? That's what we have to do if you want to meet future load demands. You're not going to get this from renewables, from solar or wind. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen any wind farms. I mean, I was in Los Angeles last year, and I drove one weekend from Los Angeles to Palm Desert. And it's such a beautiful drive. I remember seeing it when I was in my 20s. I was down there and drove, and it was just a beautiful drive. And now I drove through there, and it's just been littered with these disgusting wind farms. They're all over the place down there. They just ruined the beauty of the landscape. And this was Gavin Newsom's idea about controlling climate change. Well, how's that working out for you, Gavin? What's the atmospheric CO2 level since you put all these wind farms in and you're demanding that the citizens pay these exorbitant energy costs? Looks to me like they're still going up. There's been no change in the growth of atmospheric CO2 because nature drives a lot of what's being put into the atmosphere. It's not caused 100% by human emissions. And that's another fallacy that they came up with in this whole global warming climate hysteria. So people see this. The whole thing is falling apart and failing. And it's time that we stop it. And now I would stop it now, scrap it, and go to the logical places to get reliable future energy, which will meet all the load demands. And nuclear is the perfect answer to it all.
Well,
that's what we need to be doing.
Yeah, well, you're right about these windmills just destroying these landscapes. My wife and I have a tendency to watch a lot of British TV, and they show these countrysides just really idyllic or off the coast. And they have these big flapping windmills. Half of the times they're not even moving. And so it's destroying those landscapes and certainly not doing what they need to be doing. But speaking of Europe, is what's happening in Europe a foreshadow of what may happen here? We'll talk about that next with Chuck Wise. And we're back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Chuck Wise about what Oregon can expect in the year ahead. And a lot of that is going to focus on environmental issues, which is why I have him on today. He is a fearsome global warming debunker and trained meteorologist, so he actually knows what he's talking about, unlike a lot of the consultants that the state uses. And Chuck, before we move on and get back to Europe, I'd like to mention this, because we had talked earlier about the interplay between the federal and state governments here in Oregon, because if a lot of that funding disappears, I think a lot of what Oregon wants to do on the environmental front and green energy and this ridiculous net zero that it wants to impose on people, I think a lot of that's going to go away. And just as an example here, This is an article back in July of 2024 from OPB, and they said the EPA had awarded Oregon $200 million roughly through its climate pollution reduction grant program to help them get to net zero. They also got another $86 million for solar grants, except that funding is over 5 years. So we haven't even reached the end of the first year for that, and that may never get off the ground. And that's the kind of thing, I think, as these programs, these multi-million, even multi-billion dollar programs that Oregon wants to shove through, I just don't see the funding coming forward from the federal government. And Oregon, if you look at the ODF, that's already out of money. So Oregon is stretched to the limits. I don't see us investing several billion dollars and pushing that onto our own taxpayers. Do you?
Well, right now, they may have a hard time trying to figure out how they're going to come up with that money, which is a good thing, because if for nothing else, it'll at least forestall this. Now, they may just be hoping that, well, Trump will be gone in 4 years and we'll go back to the way things were. But I'm not so sure of that. That's a long bet that I wouldn't put my money in right now, because, like I said, people are waking up to this. So it's time that Oregon just got smart about it. It's time that these universities start telling the truth about what these climate programs are going to actually do, which is nothing. The Oregon Climate Protection Program, which was egged on by Oregon State University, will do absolutely nothing to the weather, climate, temperatures, anything. It'll have zero effect on that, because it's going to have zero effect on atmospheric CO2 levels that would even be measurable. Yet they went ahead with it anyway. So if they can tell the truth about this and get us back on the right track, maybe we can start logging again, like we should have been doing for years, and have the forest managed like they were back in the 1970s, and start producing revenue for the state school system based upon those activities, rather than doing the stupid things that they're doing right now, which make absolutely no sense. Is the legislature bright enough to see this, and will they actually do it? I don't know, because I think there's still pressure from the universities to continue to fund their climate nonsense and demand that Oregon stay in these programs. So it's going to depend on how truthful the university is going to be, part of it. And then the rest of it is, well, even if they are truthful, where are we going to find the money for this? If Trump doesn't go away after 4 years and those policies continue on with the next administration, which may still stay in the Trump camp. We just don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. But I think the fact that we're so far in debt, I just don't see how we can even remotely continue to fund these types of programs that aren't, as you say, doing anything to meet what they claim it's going to be, which is to lower the temperature and fight climate change and all the rest. They just aren't panning out. But also, I had mentioned going out of that last segment there that what's happening in Europe may be a foreshadowing of what's going to likely happen here. And there was two recent articles that I found to be fascinating. One is that electric car sales are slowing not only in the U.S., they've been doing that for a while, but even in Europe. But it's not just the skeptics, but even the fans of EV cars are starting to pull back on them because there's not the infrastructure. And on the other side of that, there's an article called Europe, the Fall of the Holy Renewable Empire. And they mention that it focuses on Germany, that has been such a big promoter of green energy, to the point where they got so wound up in it, they actually decommissioned some of their nuclear sites and certainly some of their natural gas sites to go all in on green. And there's this word, Dunkelflaute. It's the German word for literally flat, dark, calm. And it's a weather situation characterized by simultaneous lack of wind and sun in winter, when it just so happens that you kind of need electricity. And demand for electricity is at its highest. And the episodes will often last from a few days to several weeks. And on December 12th of this year, German electricity production from wind and solar was 1/30th of what the demand for it was. So
yes,
when you look at what's happening there in Europe, this nonsensical rush towards green energy here, I think we're going to run into that same situation where people just are not going to get the power they desperately need.
They're not. If Oregon continues down the road that it's on right now, we will certainly be falling into the camp of where the Germans are now, in a very desperate situation for power and to get their load demands met. And something's got to be done to stop this. Is the legislature going to actually wake up and do the right thing, or will ideology, it being so severe about we're destroying the planet, we've got to do something, they'll just force us into this situation anyway.
Yeah.
It's absurd. You're going to cause people to die from cold and lack of energy by the very same things that you claim are going to be saving us all and saving the earth. It's so crazy. I just The other thing that I had seen
on that point, though, it's not just residential electricity that's being impacted. In fact, that's the other thing that this article points out, is it's having a huge impact on business and industry, to the point where electricity has become so expensive that businesses and industries are having to pull out of Germany and go elsewhere. And that's where I think that's going to be happening in places like Oregon, that is, as long as we keep pushing that expensive green energy, we're going to start losing jobs by the thousands.
Yeah, we definitely will. Or it's just a never-ending spiral down into a ditch that you can't get out of if they don't wise up and start doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I had heard, and I think this was in France, I can't be sure of that, maybe Germany too, but I think it was France, where they the farmers over there are also in a big fight with their governments over this green ideology too, because they started going after the use of fertilizer. Now, yeah. These are people that need to grow food. You have to have food to live.
Right. Yeah, and that was France.
And then,
of course, you got the same thing happening, similar things happening over in Britain as well, where now they're trying to tax those farmers out of existence. And it's just absolutely insane that you're attacking the food source. But these are the same people pushing green energy, and so you can't expect a lot of logic out of them. All right, stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Chuck Weiss after this. And we're back in our final segment now with Chuck Weiss. We've been talking about what's happening here in Oregon, what's likely to happen here over the next year, especially as so much of what Oregon is doing right now is focused on green energy and climate change rather than things like actual jobs for people and actually maintaining the forests so they don't burn up and need bailouts with taxpayer money. So, Chuck, in this last segment here, we just got talking there about Europe, and I truly hope that waking up to the global warming scam is going to continue. I think Europe is about 5-10 years behind us in that sense, in the fact that climate change is just fake. I mean, you can see it in all of their TV. Everybody believes it over there. It really is like a religion. But the political movements in Europe, I think, are showing some pretty big shifts towards the right and away from big government leftism. And I really hope that we're going to start seeing the end of globalism as well, not just global warmingism. And also, I think with the death of the mainstream media, people are finally truly waking up to the fact that the people ruling over them have been doing what's best for the rulers and not what's best for the people. So I'm really looking forward to 2025. I think there's a lot of things to be hopeful for. What in 2025 gives you the most hope? What are you the most looking forward to?
Well, the introduction of all the new policies related to climate by the Trump administration, this will definitely get the ball rolling in the right direction. But Oregon still needs some help, because one of the things, Mark, that just kind of breaks my heart living up here in Portland was to see that almost every year or every other year, we see these poor brainwashed high school kids. They're not old enough to really understand the issues and think on their own. And you can tell by what they're doing that they have been absolutely brainwashed by the public education system, because we see them cut their classes. They pick a day where the weather's going to be nice and they'll get media coverage. They cut their classes and go on what they call a climate strike, where they're not going to go to class today. We demand that something be done about the climate. You political leaders and you people in business have failed us. You're destroying our lives, blah, 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 blah. They've been conditioned to believe that they don't have a future because of climate change. It's
yes.
That bad. And these kids are so determined by that. They march across the Hawthorne Bridge. They go down and get treated to a taxpayer-funded lunch at OMSI to promote this nonsense. And OMSI is part of the educational establishment. My hope is that the education about climate change becomes truthful, that the education establishment quits lying to these kids and poisoning their minds to where they become desperate and think that they don't have a future. That's just terrible. In a country where you're free and you have all these abilities to do what you want to do with your life, you shouldn't be burdened with this brainwashing and thought that, well, I probably won't be able to do this because climate change is destroying the planet. I'm not going to have the opportunities that my fathers and other relatives had that are older than me. And that's just plain nonsense. It's not true. These kids need to be told the truth. And so I'm hoping that with the new administration, that changes in education will come about where the lying will stop. These kids will learn the truth about the climate. They're going to get the real side of the story and realize they got a bright future in front of them. And hopefully the Trump administration is going to help with this, because this past administration has been a disaster. It has promoted climate hysteria to the maximum, and we've seen nothing but climate hysteria news and the claim that we're in a climate crisis, the media plays right into this. And as you know, every little severe weather event that comes along, the media jumps on it and says, this was climate change caused.
Oh, yeah. Hottest year ever.
And they pound that into the skulls of these poor kids. I feel sorry for them. I really do, because they don't know any better. And I blame the education establishment for this entire mess.
Yeah.
And so if we can get the funding cut off for this and get the truth be known, that's going to set and change the course for a lot of the direction that the country is going. Oh. And to put some hope in the minds of these poor kids.
Yeah, well, I certainly agree with you on that level, because I think the entire, it's not just the global warming, I think the entire education system needs a major comeuppance here. And there was a recent article where New Jersey is now looking at not having any credentialing for teachers. The teachers themselves don't have to prove that they can read or write. I mean, that's just astonishing. But as far as the Gen Z is concerned, I agree with you. I think I see a lot of hope there, because a lot of those Gen Zs turned out to be Trump supporters. And if you look at some of the statistics that are coming out about Gen Z, Bible sales are way up in that generation. So I look at things like that, and I think, wow, that really gives me a lot of hope. And I think a large part of that is that younger generation is just not paying attention to the mainstream media like older generations have been. And if that's the case, if you can break that stranglehold that the left has over these younger kids because of that media dominance, I think that's going to give all of us a lot of hope. Unfortunately, Chuck, we are up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Well, I'm glad to be of help, Mark, and we'll have a lot more to talk about as the new administration comes up, and hopefully on your next show it's going to be good news.
Yeah, hopefully. You've probably heard the term cognitive dissonance, a psychological state where people experience mental discomfort when they hold contradictory beliefs. And to reduce that discomfort, they will alter their attitudes or beliefs in given situations. It's a type of psychological hypocrisy. Like I said when I opened the show, no one is above the law except people who broke our immigration laws to come and stay here. Murder is wrong, unless it's an unborn baby. I think in 2025 you will see mental gymnastics by the left the likes you have never seen. You can certainly expect it at the federal level, not just here in Oregon. The left will say it was perfectly fine to use the DOJ to prosecute people on the right for imaginary crimes, but now that someone else is in charge, it's not okay to use the DOJ to prosecute people on the left for actual crimes, including misusing their governmental authority and abusing the justice system. It's going to be an interesting and challenging year. Be on guard when it comes to whom you listen to, and just because your side won the election, that is no time to back off and not be involved. You've got to hold them to a higher standard. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.